just like you, we're all about sports. And the things that make sports great, like beer and wings. This is Sheeman and Shepherd on ESPN Southwest Florida. Online at ESPNSWFL.com.
I'm Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepherd. Chris on the other side of the glass. I do like this rhythm, this beat. Went to download it the other day. A lot of bad words in it. Didn't download it.
It's a great song. It's a great song.
What's it about, Craig?
Well, there's a lot of...
What's the name of the song?
A lot of...
Hypnotize.
There's a lot of bad words.
What's like the meaning?
Bad racial words that I don't like to have in my
language. Behind the words.
The chorus is, Biggie, 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 can't you see? Sometimes your words just hypnotize me.
Yeah, and that's where the clean words end. A lot of racial stuff. I don't like people like if I were to play it, people hear me jamming to that stuff.
Oh, Biggie's so good.
It's a bad look.
So good. Lost him too early.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right, Pete. He died.
I know
All
that.
Right.
I know.
Coming up, John Meter Perrell.
Meter!
And DeAndre Lew. That's all coming up at 7 past the hour here in the 3 o'clock hour. We'll keep an eye on the Belgium-Canada game as well.
Tweeted out DeAndre Lew's mom has this awesome appetizer cheese ball thingy with bacon. Looks like a turkey. It's a phenomenal-looking appetizer. I tweeted it out.
I would eat all the bacon. And then everybody would be mad at me. 7 minutes and 10 seconds past the hour. It is time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
SportsCenter update brought to you by Best Home Services. Service appointments available now. GetBest.com.
7 Michigan State players have been charged following the post-game brawl in Michigan Stadium on October 29th. Kerry Crump faces one count of felonious assault. The other 6 players charged with misdemeanors. The Jets are benching Zach Wilson in favor of Mike White. The Texans are benching Davis Mills for Kyle Allen this Sunday against the Dolphins. Chiefs running back Clyde Edwards-Helaire is on IR with an ankle sprain. He's out for the next 4 games. World Cup results today. Japan beats Germany 2-1. Spain beats Costa Rica 7-0. Morocco, Croatia play to a 0-0 draw.
All right, thank you. We'll have John Meter Perrell on. Also, a reminder, Florida Gulf Coast men's basketball beat Drexel in the Gulf Coast Showcase out at Hertz last night, 67-59. They're in the championship game tonight at 7:30 against UMKC. I see Bucks and Bolts says, Chris, Biggie or Tupac? I know, Tupac.
Biggie.
Really? Agree to disagree. That's just an asinine conversation amongst us. I know one song from each guy.
Well, remember Will Ferrell did Robert Goulet for Biggie and did Papa.
Yeah.
That was one of the funniest things ever.
Good
Him
times.
Doing reggae. Will Ferrell, Robert Goulet is rap artist. Anywho.
John Meter Perrell, friend of the program, radio announcer for BC, our ACC correspondent, got shut out at Notre Dame in a blizzard, caught the flu. I mean, I don't know what else went wrong from that day, but he's a gamer for playing it.
Meter, and let's take it from the get-go. Let's start when you got off the plane.
Yeah, were you sick before or during?
Because I know, because the Eagles had the flu. You talked about it. The Eagles, like in my cousin Vinny, the whole store had the flu. The whole team had the flu. So talk to me. How was the plane ride? And take it from there.
Oh, boy. What an introduction. God.
How are you feeling, by the way, first and foremost?
Well, I asked. You notice I asked how you felt, not Pete.
You know, we deal with the compassionate Sheeman and the, I'll have to think of a word for Pete.
Yeah. Oh, I got a lot of words for Pete.
That's all right. I've heard them all before. They're all true.
I'm feeling better, guys. Not so well a couple days ago. But, yes, as far as the BC game at Notre Dame, that was an absolute debacle, is a good word.
But did you feel like you're getting sick on the plane coming down? Like, do you say, oh, this could be a rough, I mean.
Well, we knew that, we were all wearing masks on the plane coming down.
Oh.
If you're smart, you were, but evidently it didn't help my cause.
I guess that's masks don't work. Oh, I didn't say that out loud.
That's how strong the bug was. But Yes, the plane ride home, Pete. We sat in South Bend, Indiana on the tarmac as they de-iced us as the plane went through many de-icings.
Isn't that unnerving when you're sitting there and they're having a de-ice? That's just a sick feeling. You just feel trapped at the mercy of the good Lord at that point.
Yeah, someone has to explain to me why you can't de-ice the plane while everybody's not on the plane.
Yeah.
Now, some of these.
Hold on. He hasn't gotten through his play-by-play of his illness.
Yes.
Stop.
Go ahead.
All right, continue.
So, get on the plane. An hour and a half later, we take off. We end up getting back to Boston around 11. There's traffic. If you're flying into Logan Airport today from Fort Myers, note to self, do not expect to get anywhere soon if you're going on the Mass Pike westbound.
Good Lord.
Because there's traffic, brutality traffic near Fenway Park. We were not for an hour. We didn't end up getting back to D.C. until midnight. We should have been there like an hour and a half earlier. So fast forward the tape to Sunday night when I was up for dinner with the lovely Caton and started to feel a little bit off. You know, you get that little bit off feeling.
Yeah.
A little sweaty, a little clammy.
Chills. Yeah.
And you know something. Last time I felt like this was with Shepard at the Blue Marlin. Seventh Martini.
Blue Martini.
Yeah.
You had a Blue Marlin, not the Blue Martini.
Oh, the Blue Martini, excuse me. So then Sunday night, I went downhill quick.
Yeah.
And my temperature rose to 103.
Whoa! That's hot.
Yeah. That was pretty bad. So thank you for asking. Appreciate the sentiments, but feeling a little bit better now. Not sure I'm going to have a big turkey day tomorrow. I'm going to stay away from all my relatives.
My
kids have had it too, so it's something's going around out there, folks.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Go ahead, Craig.
Well, I was just watching that game, and it was miserable, and I don't like snow anyway. And I got to thinking before I knew you were sick and everything. I'm just curious: are you? Do you get a heater in the press box up there? Are you a window open guy? Are window closed with a crowd mic? I mean, what were your conditions in the booth?
Well, here's the thing. I am a big time window open guy.
Yeah.
But it was 25 degrees with winds out of the west at 20 miles per hour.
Yeah.
It was whipping, literally whipping around South Bend. And there was a heater below us. Uh-huh. When you say heater, I think of like the old, like, you know, old like Howard Cosell photos of him smoking in the press box. Smoking a heater. But I usually am a window open guy, Craig. They'll be open on Saturday. We had an incident, though, 5 years ago at Yankee Stadium in a pinstripe bowl where I almost killed my partner, Pete Cronin, who had a case of pneumonia after the BC Iowa game. And he blamed me because the window was open.
Uh-huh.
It was a frigid day at Yankee Stadium. Pete might remember that.
I do remember that. But even the game you did, there were parts of that game you could not see the field. You couldn't see touchdown Jesus. You couldn't see anything. During the height of that mini blizzard that happened over there, I mean, what's that like calling a game like that? Yeah, I know you probably have a good spotter, right? But that's got to be tough.
It was hard because these were wearing white jerseys and it was white on white. So it was a unique time for me. And I kept getting applause from my guys I work with saying, we don't know how you're doing this. And I said, well, I'm kind of guessing.
Yeah.
The good news was that you could see the yard markers still. You could see the yard lines. It wasn't Buffalo like snow, thank God, but it was just bad enough. It was a great kind of snow globe moment. One of those games you'll never forget.
Yeah.
I'll forget the result because I don't even ever want to think about that result.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things where you're like, is this really happening? It just comes in so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Well, you didn't have to worry about any yardage or points for BC because Notre Dame had more total yards late in the first quarter than BC. Had more points than BC had total yards late in the first quarter. It was horrible. 17, and then Notre Dame had an 11-minute and 42-second to 3-minute and 18-second advantage in time of possession. They only needed to make 5 tackles in the first quarter. That is the most unbelievable. That's Miami Hurricane. They didn't get to 100 yards either last week.
Yeah, this is where we segue and talk about their pitiful performance against Clemson.
Of course. Yeah, Pete. Yeah. It might be nice to have a couple zeros after those yards this week. just few. I know it's a tough one against. You got Pittsburgh this week.
Yeah.
All right. That's not an easy game. So Miami looks like they're probably no bowling for the Canes, which is shocking.
Yeah, it is. Let me ask you this. So let's get into something. Seeing Notre Dame up close, even though it's not an ACC, but the way they are playing, how do you think, what kind of a game are you going to think they're going to give USC on Saturday night?
I think they're going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be one of those last possession type games. Home field, slight edge maybe for USC, although there'll be a lot of Notre Dame fans there. I don't think that really matters anymore. Caleb Williams, to me, is the best player in college football now. I saw him play on Saturday night, flight home against UCLA, and that kid has unbelievable arm strength. Ball comes out of his hand like he's just whipping it around the yard like it's nothing. I think I don't know if he'll win the Heisman, but he should definitely be a top three candidate. So I think USC I'll give a slight edge to, but Notre Dame playing really well. And that's credit to Marcus Freeman. I think could have gone off the cliff pretty easily after they lost to Marshall and Stanford and the roof was falling and everybody was panicking. But let's face it, they still have a lot of talent. Foskey's a terrific edge guy. Good backfield, three-headed monster there. Quarterback's not great, but he's managing the game. He's not making mistakes. Mm-hmm. That's what they want. I mean, they got a lot of good guys coming in, let me tell you. They are loaded, top five recruiting class. So they're going to be tough next year, but that's going to be a heck of a game.
Some other games going on. I think they're Florida State, the Gators were played crappy, losing to Vandy, even though Vandy's been a little bit better. Florida State, I think, has been very good over the really not just second half of the season. They're playing some really good football. Travis has been, I think, one of the most underappreciated quarterbacks in the country this year with 21 touchdowns and only four picks and 2,526 yards. But the Gators have won three in a row. They're going to be pissed off. A tough place to play at Dole Campbell. 7:30 Friday night, believe it or not. Not Saturday. It's going to be Friday night, but 9.5 points. That is a lot in a rivalry game, especially a ticked-off Gator team. But I don't know. What do you think about the Seminoles and their chances on Friday night?
I like them. I like Florida State. I think you're right, Pete. That was good analysis. I think Travis is very underappreciated. Again, you want to call him a game manager, go ahead. But guy makes plays. And the running game, they've had five games now with over 200 yards. That's the most they've had since 1998. So that's a pretty good stretch. And Mike Norvell knew he was a good offensive coach at Memphis. Now it's turning on him here in Tallahassee. So Florida's not a great team. They're mediocre at best.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if Florida State didn't win.
Yeah. Meter, we got an inexplicable game by the South Carolina Gamecocks last week against Tennessee. And the question is, how much of that can they bottle up and take to Clemson for their season-ending rivalry game? Nobody wins at Clemson except Clemson. What do you expect this weekend between those two?
40 straight home wins, Craig.
Yeah.
40 straight.
Yeah.
Last time I was rolling, I was still on Bumble the last time I lost at home.
Now you're on Humble.
Now he's spoken.
Oh, yes. Always, Pete, always. I'm just hoping for a good game. We have not seen great games in this rivalry. Quote, rivalry. It's really not a rivalry anymore because Clemson's dominated.
Mm-hmm.
So let's have a touchdown game. Let's have a field goal game. Last possession game. Yeah, well documented. Tough place to play. But South Carolina, maybe they finally figured it out. Spencer Rattler played like everybody thought he was going to play a year ago. So, great game plan against Tennessee. They're totally demolished. Well documented. Tough loss with Hendon Hooker going down, but still, they just ran all over the field again. Tennessee couldn't stop them. South Carolina looked like a better than pro style offense. It was unbelievable how quickly they went down the field and scored. So I think they'll score against Clemson. Clemson's defense good, not great. DJ still trick or treat. Could throw one up for grabs. Could have a pick six, and then you could have a ball game. So. Let's just hope for that.
Yeah,
I think Clemson, and they still have an outside chance at the playoff. They have to have something go their way. They have to have Notre Dame beat USC. They have to have Georgia beat LSU. I think they need Ohio State to beat Michigan, and they need TCU, which has a phenomenal resume, to lose a game here. But a statement that Clemson has to make, Muta, do you think they got to blow them out to even have a chance, even if everything I just said comes true? how much do you think they have to win by? Not just cover the 14.5, but I mean, they'd have to blow them out to really get the committee's attention, in your opinion?
Yeah, Pete, I think it's going to be really hard. Blowout, probably, yes. Probably 3-touchdown win. I just don't think the committee's tilted toward Clemson. You know, it's a heck of a team to lead out of the playoffs. Too bad we don't have that 12 going now. That'd be a great 12 this year. But hopefully maybe next, well, definitely by 2024, we hope. But I just don't think it's going to happen, Pete. I really don't. I think they're, you know, the way it's set up now, look at LSU and USC and how difficult that is for USC.
Well, that's what I mean. They have to have a whole, but they need help from 14. They need, like I said, they need USC to lose to Notre Dame. They need LSU to lose to Georgia. They need TCU to lose, probably in a regular season, because even if they win the Big 12 with one loss, it's still a great chance to get in. But they need Ohio State to beat Michigan. They need like four or five things to happen.
Too many of what ifs. And, you know, don't end up going to the, you know, likely will beat North Carolina. Oh, by the way, North Carolina, what the heck was that?
Yeah.
Against Georgia Tech.
Right.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
You blow a 17-0 lead. Drake May turned into a human. But, you know, bad loss for them. They'll play Clemson in the championship next Saturday in Charlotte for the ACC. But Clemson likely wins that game. They go to the Orange Bowl. So I love how people think it's such a bad year you're going to the Orange Bowl.
Yeah.
You would kill for that.
Yeah.
All right, finally, before I let you go, you're home this week. You're taking on a struggling Syracuse team, but, you know, 7:30 at night. And then we got that game, and then what are you doing for ACC Network or ESPN Basketball? What do you got coming up?
I got a busy, busy weekend. Friday, 8 o'clock, I'm on ACC Network, Virginia Tech, and Charleston Southern. The Hokies are going to be a good team this year. They're off to a good start. Mike Young's one of the best coaches in the country that no one talks about. And then on Saturday at 12:30, I got Wake Forest and Hampton on ACC Network. That's a hoop game.
Wow.
And then Saturday at 7:30, I'm on BC and
Juice.
Who are they playing? Syracuse.
Yeah.
I drive back to Boston for that from Bristol.
Uh-huh.
I'm on the Bristol shuttle. And then on Sunday, I'm back on ACC Network, BC URI at noon.
You are excellent. Not going to have a voice left. There's nothing worse than being busy when you're sick. So I hope you're feeling up to snuff real fast.
Well, Craig, you know, I've contacted Falco. Do they still exist? Falco still in business?
I'm not sure.
Barry Bonds.
Get some steroids, man.
Barry Bonds, hey. Greg Anderson.
I guess it's real simple. What we do in the old days, Meter, right? Vicks Vapor Rub. Just rub some on your body. You'll feel fine.
Pete, you know, this is a classic guy, Craig, who grew up on the mean streets of Rhode Island.
Right.
Narragansett mean streets.
His parents just threw him out there in the snow when he had a fever.
Yep.
Go out there and play. You'll be fine. Rub some snow on it.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
That's right.
Goodness gracious.
All right, man. We'll take care.
Vapor Rub. I haven't heard Vic Vapor. By the way, before you let me off, can we please pay homage to the greatest play in college football history 38 years ago today?
The Hail Mary.
Doug Flutie. Hail Flutie at the Orange Bowl. Where were you? What were you doing? What time did it happen?
I'll tell you where I was. It was Gerard Fail and his roommate, as you know, that caught the ball. I was at my girlfriend Melissa's house at the time. I jumped up off the couch, and I flailed on my arm, and her lamp in the living room went flying, and her mother started screaming at me, and I didn't care. That's exactly where I was.
I was a young lad in the state of Indiana just watching college football.
Wondering what could be.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Still wondering.
Well, Pete, I was at Leach Mare in Route 9 in Natick.
Oh, traffic.
You're looking at Betamaxes to buy.
That's great.
And I said to my mother, "We got to go home. This game's unbelievable. I'm watching at Leach Mare. You can explain to Craig what Leach Mare is.
Yeah, it's an outlet. You know,
it's like an old school Best Buy.
Yeah,
and I'm watching TVs in that store, and I was going nuts as a 12-year-old. And I said, we got to go home.
You're watching it on 38 different TVs going, oh, my God, I got to get home.
It's still right to be at a mall, though, Craig. I felt like I needed the comfort of my living room. It was the first half. It was back and forth. I went home. I watched Brett Musburger. I listened to Dan Davis's calls.
Yeah.
The old BC
voice. Yeah.
And that was such a moment. What a moment.
That's awesome.
It was. Then they lost the next week, I think, to Penn State or Pitt. I forget.
Oh. All right.
There's always that stub-the-toe mentality.
Yeah. Pete's very negative.
No, I'm not. No, it was a great season.
I hope you feel better.
Yeah, get
enjoy
better.
Your solo Thanksgiving and all your work that you have
And another
up.
Thing, happy Thanksgiving to you and your family. And also tomorrow night, well, actually, it was yesterday, but now that it's Thanksgiving night, and happy butt fumble anniversary as well.
All the above.
Yes, happy butt fumble to you, Pete. I know I still hear you laughing. Mark Sanchez went down. But yes, happy Thanksgiving to all you guys.
Yes.
Great, great, great stuff as always.
All right, Meter. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Eat well.
Yes, will do. Always.
All right, that's John Meter Farrell, Boston College, our ACC correspondent. Talking football, playing hurt.
Doing five games in 2 days?
With probably no voice at the end. I hope he gets through it. ESPN Southwest Florida has all the biggest games in college football this weekend. Friday night, it's Florida State. Saturday at noon, Michigan and Ohio State. Saturday night, we got USC hosting Notre Dame. College football has been presented by Diamonds by Diane and Twin Peaks. Our Tampa correspondent, DeAndre Liu, steps in next. We'll talk some Bucks, and we'll talk some Lightning. And we'll talk some turkey cheese ball. Oh. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepherd, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Craig Sheeman along with Pete Shepard. Chris on the other side of the glass. Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. It is time to talk all things Tampa. Buccaneers, Lightning, and more. DeAndre Liu, our correspondent up there, joins us as she does each and every week. DeAndre, how are you?
Hi, DeAndre.
Hey, guys. I'm good. How are you?
Good. I want your mom to make a replica of this and send it over at some point. I don't care what month it is or what week it is.
This is the cheese ball turkey.
I tweeted it out, and it looks absolutely phenomenal. Can you describe the dish? I'm going to pretend we're on Chopped. Can you describe the dish for our audience, please?
So, as you can see, if you go on Twitter, you can really, you know, words don't explain it. You really have to go on and see it for yourself, but it is a cheese ball. If I'm looking correctly, it looks like a bell pepper as the head, and mm-hmm. then we have bacon pieces as the wings, which he did tell me that as the cheese melts, the bacon kind of folds over, so you got to eat it. You got to eat it quick. But yeah, this is what she does.
I'd snag that bacon fast. I'd be that guy. Who ate all the bacon?
That would be me, yes. So, and then she puts pretzels in there. It's a whole thing. So for Christmas, we'll probably get a Santa cheese ball.
Oh.
You guys will get one.
That's nice.
That's nice.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I saw you responded to our Thanksgiving sides on Twitter yesterday. That was quite the controversy on the show. But you prefer more bread rolls, and the carbs need to be ranked higher up is what you're saying.
I think they should. I said top 10, but I really think the rolls should have been top 5, if I'm being honest. Also, sure. The gravy was a little bit lower than what I would prefer.
Yeah,
There's a couple discrepancies with that list. But.
Oh, more than a couple. Oh. We spent 2 hours on it yesterday.
15
instead of talking sports, but
15 discrepancies.
Here's the deal, DeAndre. If you've been on our show more and more, I'm basically the Michael Jordan of this group, and these guys have to double team me on everything I do and criticize everything I do. So it's okay. It's
right, and it's justified. Trust me. All right, let's get into it. Let's start with the Lightning. And you were at the game with the Bruins the other night. An outstanding atmosphere. Bolts have come out flying. I think it was 10-0 shots on net early on in favor, and a 1-0 lead in favor of the Tampa Bay Lightning. It was an awesome game. But the Bruins just turned on the afterburners and scored the next four, going on 5-3 win. And thank you for sending that shot of one of the greatest people, not only players, people of all time. And I don't know if you ever got to talk to him, Patrice Bergeron. He is one of the nicest athletes on and off the ice you would ever want to meet. He got his 1,000th point with that assist on Marchand's goal. But and you sent me a nice video of it from the from Emily. It was fantastic. But just describe the atmosphere in the game, and despite the Lightning losing to a very – they won four in a row in a red-hot Bruins team. But tell me what that was like that night.
Yeah, in the video I sent you, it was such a cool experience. And I will say, after the game, all on the Lightning side, obviously, even though they lost and they were, you know, really upset that they lost, they were all talking about what a cool moment it was. And, you know, it's also Stamkos is really close to hitting that milestone, so I think it kind of hit home for them. But it was a great environment. It was two great teams playing, and you know, I thought when the Lightning came out, they came out strong, mm-hmm. But they still ended the first period and it was tied. So that was a little bit telling. You know, they were out shooting the Bruins, but they weren't getting the puck in the net. And once the Bruins turned it up, I mean, that was it. They were down by 3 goals at the end of the second period. And I will say, coming from the Lightning standpoint, if you're looking at the Lightning, there were some good things that happened in that game because they could have easily given up, and they pushed through in the third period and scored 2 more times. So that was a big deal for them, and their 5-on-5 was strong. So they play the Bruins again. I think it's on the 29th. It's coming up in Boston. So, you know, it's the first of four, and the Bruins really showed what a great team they are, honestly. And, you know, they were upset when they lost after the game. You know, we're talking to all of them, but they just kept talking about how great the Bruins were, and it was just a really good game.
Yeah, so there's a lot of hockey left, and I know Tampa plays on Friday St. night Louis. Against the Blues, and the Blues have the Sabres tonight. They finally snapped their 8-game slide. And now they're home against St. Louis tonight. And then Tampa Bay has St. Louis Blues on Friday, correct?
Yep. St. Louis on Friday. And, you know, another thing that I hope that they can work on is there was no depth in scoring at all against the Bruins. Nick Paul scored 2 out of those 3 goals, and Balser scored the third goal, and he's brand new to our team. So hopefully, you know, when they play the Blues, they can turn that around, get some of those guys. It seemed like that top line with Kucherov just was off, and they missed that. They needed that against the Bruins. So we'll look to see what happens. You know, they were not happy. They were not happy after the game. So I hope that, you know, they can turn things around on Friday.
DeAndre Liu is with us from Tampa with Sheeman and Shepard on ESPN Southwest Florida. We'll turn our attention to the Bucks, who finally they get even at 5-5. They got a little bit of a break here to get healthy. Historically, they've been pretty strong after the bye. And what do you expect? It was kind of quiet, actually, the last 10 days or so. I guess everybody just stayed out, got rested. And
they're giving out turkeys today. I saw you post that video. It was great, the offensive lineman.
Yeah. I was going to say the same thing. It's been really quiet. It's been a quiet couple of weeks. We did see a lot of the Bucks players were at all the Lightning games, you know, because there were 3 home games. So a lot of them came to the games, and everybody was in really good spirits. And I think they're kind of riding that high after they beat Seattle. But there were a couple of things. We did hear some stuff today. This was the first day, really, that we've heard anything from them. Vita Vea, Todd Bowles announced that Vita Vea has a foot injury, so he's doubtful to play on Sunday, which is big for them. They do play the Saints for Monday Night Football the following week, so you hope that if he's going to rest up, he'll be good to go for that game. Fournette also still has that hip injury, which I'm pretty sure is from that play where he threw the ball to Brady. He's still sore, and to me that's a big deal as well because there's been a lot of back and forth with him and Rashad White, like who's a better fit, who is going to be successful running the ball. And I think that Fournette, you know, being injured is really going to give Rashad White a little bit of space to see if he can handle it. So that's a big deal to me. Russell Gage was out at practice today, but he was on a totally separate field, nowhere near anybody. That's pretty much like we have not heard anything from them. Brady seemed really optimistic. It seemed to be in a really good headspace, and everybody seems like just I don't know. It seems like that old chapter from the beginning of the season is gone. They've moved on from it.
I think so too. And I saw Jack Brady on the field today with Tom a little bit. And since that divorce went final, I think it's just a big weight lifted off his shoulders. I think he's just much more relaxed, and as important as the team is getting healthier. So you expect a full arsenal, right? Evans, Godwin, Jones, and how about Cameron Brate? Is he ready to go too?
Yeah, Cam Brate, all of them, they're all ready to go. We didn't hear anything about any of them not being able to play. Chris Godwin had a great game in Seattle. It kind of seems like every game he gets a little more back to himself. So we saw him at the Lightning game as well. And
yeah.
I expect him to, he's just going to keep adding on to it. They really just need to build on what they've been doing the past couple of weeks. One thing that I do want to say is that with them and the way that their season has gone, I don't think it's a good idea to underestimate the Browns. I do think they need to go into it. They have Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, so they're going to have to stop the run. And, with Akeem Hicks back and Devin White playing as great as he is, if they can do that, I think they should be pretty confident going into it. But I hope that they don't underestimate anybody.
Yeah, I agree with you on that. Mm-hmm. It could be an ugly game. Who cares? You just got to get the win. But
Devin White has done a 180 the last three games. I mean, he has been outstanding. He's back to the Devin White that we know. It stinks that Vea is not going to play because with him and Akeem Hicks there, they complement each other so well. But that defense on the whole is pretty much healthy again. And I think they're going to be a tough beat down the stretch. I really do. They may win ugly at times, but I think they're going to be a tough beat.
Yeah, and I think you can count on that defense always, because even when they were at their worst, their defense was still a little bit better. You know what I mean? Like, you can count on that defense. It's really going to – I'm interested to see now that they're running the ball better, which is really helpful for them. I do want to see what the offense does. I thought it was a good sign when they were playing Seattle, where they kind of got down, and then they just kept pushing through. Nobody was – there weren't a bunch of three and outs. Like, they were a full, complete football team. So, I think it looks good for them. And then they play the 49ers coming up, which is going to be tough for them. But and the Saints are always – that's always a tough game for Brady. So you hope that Vita Vea can be back by then as well. But everything's looking good. And, yeah, it's been really quiet for them. And I think that's a good sign. That's good, given the season that they've had.
DeAndre, not to look too far ahead, but I can't turn on my phone in the morning without that story about a package deal of Brady and Sean Payton going somewhere next year. I mean, I know the conversations with Miami happen, but it won't go away. And it just keeps me wondering. I can't even imagine a 46-year-old Tom Brady play, and I imagine he's going to the broadcast booth next year. But do you have any thoughts on whether Peyton and Brady pair up either, well, probably not Tampa, but anywhere for that matter?
It's so funny you say that, because when I was at the Bruins-Tampa game, sitting in the press box, somebody brought that up to me as well. I feel like I get asked this every few days, and every single time my answer is different. I will say I think it depends on the week, but I did listen to Brady's podcast yesterday. I actually listened to it this morning, but it was from yesterday. And it kind of sounded like to me that he was done after this year. That was what I got from it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see him going down to Miami. I don't believe all that stuff. I think if he was going to play another year, I think it would be in Tampa and he would be done. But I don't even see that happening.
Yeah.
Ask me in 2 weeks, though.
Okay.
Ask me in 2 weeks.
I will.
I will. All right. Well, finally, more importantly than anything we've talked, well, what's on the agenda for Thanksgiving? What's going on? What are you doing?
Yeah. So we go to my parents' house. I'm bringing the pre-dinner snacks. We'll go to my parents' house early, and they live about 30 minutes away from me, and we'll just hang out all day with the dogs, and we'll eat and drink, and we kind of make it a whole weekend thing. So we usually do Friday as well. We'll go,
yeah,
excellent.
Maybe include some drinks again on Fridays, and
of course
we'll shop and do our thing. But we make it a full weekend.
What is your go-to drink? Pete likes vodka. They make fun of me because I like Coors Light. What do you like?
I'm a wine girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's
and I'll
acceptable.
I mean, I'll drink red or white, but I feel like that's a safe bet for me.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a beer girl too. But
all right,
cool.
Well, it sounds good. You have a wonderful time yep. with your family, and enjoy your holiday. And we'll talk to you next week.
And when, make sure your mom knows that she has to send one of those things.
Yeah,
cheese balls, cheese balls, turkey cheese balls here. Yep.
You know, when you have a mom, when your mom is a teacher, everything looks like a bulletin board. So, like, our, when she cooks, it looks like a bulletin board. Their front yard for every holiday, she gets those big inflatable, nice. Like, characters for yeah. Halloween, Thanksgiving. It all looks like a bulletin board. So, that's kind of my life.
That is spectacular.
That's great.
All right, well, you enjoy it.
Have a great time.
Thank you very much.
Thanks so much, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you next week, DeAndre.
DeAndre Lou from Tampa, talking Bucks and Lightning. We get to talk to her every week here on ESPN Southwest Florida. Always enjoy it.
Yep.
All right. I believe you have a couple nuggets still left.
More nuggets, but tons of nuggets for Dallas and the Giants and the Patriots in Minnesota. You don't want to miss it. And some Shekel stuff, too, with... You know, against the spread numbers and all that, that you do not want to miss before we get into Pick-A-Palooza.
Pick-A-Palooza, the sixth annual Pick-A-Palooza Pigskin Picks. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepard right here. And then in an hour, your chance to beat Pete Shepard in Wikipedia, brought to you by Firehouse Subs. It will have to do with the six teams in the NFL in action tomorrow. All that coming up. Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN, Southwest Florida. I'm Craig Sheeman, along with Pete Shepard. Chris, on the other side of the glass, Sheeman and Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida. World Cup action. Belgium 1, Canada nothing in the 92nd minute, plus 5 at a time. And that's all I'm going to say about that.
Okay, Forrest.
That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yep.
Interesting question earlier on the text line from Wizard of Oz. Is it wrong to make a pre-Thanksgiving Day meal?
No. Are you talking about turkey?
Are you talking about earlier in the day or the night before? I guess the day of. Like, I eat very lightly before and gradually go into snacking, and then usually I'm actually full by the time the meal gets there, and I just stuff myself silly.
I might just have, like, a cheeseburger on the grill tonight or something. Simple.
I'm yeah. grilling cheeseburgers tonight.
Yeah.
Really?
Sliders, smash burgers
See,
on the griddle.
I didn't know if he was talking about for tonight or like tomorrow, like a lunch before the dinner.
I know. I think he means tonight. I think I took it as tonight.
That's what I initially thought, but now I'm not so sure.
Well, so many, there's a lot of high school reunions tonight. You know, people yeah, getting together, haven't seen each other in a long time.
Number one drinking night of the year tonight.
Yep. So be careful.
And Chris, will you, you know, partake? I mean, that's.
Will I drink tonight?
Sure, I mean, you are like the number one drinker that I know.
No, I'm not. Not? No. I don't know.
I do. I am.
Yeah?
I have a couple. It'd be fun. Watch the Celtics and Mavericks are on ESPN. Bruins will be on ESPN Plus.
Love the Celtics tonight.
Yeah, -4.
Well, it's
back
hard
home.
To go against Celtics on any situation now.
Well, I'm coming off of a loss on Monday?
Yeah.
The Bulls
are 2-1 against them this year. Two of their three losses are against the
four losses.
The Bills. Four
By
losses
the way,
against
I
the
got the
Bulls.
Bet wrong. The Pistons somehow beat the Nuggets in Denver last night. Who saw that coming?
I gave out a winner.
Oh, you did?
Me too.
Kings plus one. They won by five or something.
My two teams, 6-point teaser hit, 18-17. And Ohio continues to dominate in MAC coverage. So, gave you that last night.
Yeah. All right. Why don't you drop a couple hot nuggets on us, and then we got the sixth annual Pick-A-Palooza coming up at 4-ish.
Let me just give you a couple of generics here, okay? Comebacks are rare on Thanksgiving. These are all strictly Thanksgiving betting notes, okay? Mm-hmm. Since 2005, teams who lead at the half on Thanksgiving are 30-16-1 against the spread in the second half,
okay,
including 15-6-1 against the spread since 2014. Dallas and Detroit are a combined 13-21 against the spread on Thanksgiving since 2005. Since 2005, the public has faded the Lions against the spread 11 times on Thanksgiving. Spread percentage of 51% or more on the opponent. Detroit, is 0-11 straight up in those games. Wow. 2-9 against the spread.
That's not very good.
Not at all.
But then there's a favorites domination. In the last 25 years, favorites of 7 points or more on Thanksgiving are 24-2 straight up, 22-4 against the spread.
I like one of the big favorites.
Yeah. Yep. A flesh-eating bacteria says, Chris isn't drinking tonight, my ass.
I haven't had a drink since Saturday.
Hold on, hold out your hand. Are you steady? You shaking?
Yeah, that's pretty straight steady, man.
But some more nuggets for Giants Cowboys. The first Thanksgiving game between these two teams since 1992.
It was the right bet, by the way, the soccer game. It was the right bet.
Belgium just beat Canada 1-0. We all went with the draw.
Canada missed a penalty, the goal that Belgium scored should have been stopped by the keeper, and there was another penalty that should have been awarded to Canada.
Well, my unit just shrunk.
Well,
what else is new?
It's cold.
You were in a pool. That's the first Thanksgiving between the Giants and Cowboys since 1992. You might remember back then. Dallas won 30-3. Emmitt Smith, 161 yards and 2 touchdowns. Now, since that time, the Cowboys have lost 3 straight Thanksgiving games. Their last win against Washington in 2018. The Raiders, you might remember, beat the Cowboys 36-33 in overtime last year. That was a great game.
That was. Last time the Raiders were great.
This is the Giants' first Thanksgiving game since 2017 at Washington. They lost their last win on Thanksgiving. Guess when the Giants' last win on Thanksgiving was? It's not like 1956 or 60. It's
when did they win the Super Bowl that year? Like 90?
Nope.
Okay. 04.
No, they did not win, nor did they get to the playoffs this year. This was the pre-Parcells.
Wow.
Well, for Chris, that might as well be 1950.
Ancient history.
1982. They won at Detroit. 0-3 since then.
What year?
1982.
Was Lawrence Taylor, was he like a rookie-ish?
He might have been, yeah.
Just in fact,
start.
I think he had a pick six in that game.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. That was probably Danielson and Hipple back then.
Now I have to look it up.
Yeah, look up 1982. Lions hosting the Giants on Thanksgiving.
Gigante!
And I don't think Phil Simms was quarterback then either.
Yeah.
That was... Anyway, the Giants are 17-25 since the merger when they were a 9-plus point underdog versus division opponents. Worst cover percentage.
When I typed that up,
yeah,
the first thing that came up,
yeah,
LT on list of greatest Thanksgiving plays ever.
Oh. Is that the one he deflected it to him? Did he jump up and deflect the pass, if I remember? Something crazy.
Yeah.
Let's go to break.
Okay, we're going to break, and I'll look this. Yeah, it was off Gary Danielson.
Yeah, I remember that. And you remember, too. Who was quarterback for the Giants that day?
Well, I'll take a break.
I'll look at the box score.
We got the 6th annual Pick-a-Palooza coming up. Here's your chance to win $15,000 on the Sheeman & Shepard Holiday Stimulus at ESPNSWFL.com. Sheeman & Shepard, ESPN Southwest Florida.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.